Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is now the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race and more. Right now on the site, see Joyce Pernick's analysis of how Governor Cuomo keeps winning in Albany, from budget cuts to same-sex marriage, at itsafreecountry.org. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow as well. This governor has had so many successes in just a few months in office. We'll look at why it's turning out so differently for him than for his predecessors, who had a lot of the same agenda. And this just in from the Supreme Court. The court has rejected California's law, which was banning the sale or rental of violent video games to minors. They may not ban the sale or rental of violent video games to minors under the First Amendment, says the Supreme Court. We'll look at that in some detail later in the program. But one of the bizarre footnotes to the dramatic events in Albany Friday night is that at basically the same exact time, Mayor Bloomberg and the New York City Council were concluding their budget negotiations ahead of this Thursday's annual fiscal year deadline. Maybe they were looking to hide this from much media coverage, I don't know, while everybody was going, gay marriage, gay marriage. But in case you haven't heard all about this yet, no teacher layoffs after all, no fire company closings after all, and let's find out what else with WNYC political reporter Bob Henley and Aaron Einhorn from the Daily News. They spent their Friday night in the relative obscurity of City Hall with no cheering throngs making global headlines. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
But, Bob, you do have a clip.
Yeah. We were there at Tweed Courthouse because it was moved there because of work that's going on. So it was a very palatial setting, the Tweed Courthouse. And we were going through the budget process, and Mayor Bloomberg was mid-sentence explaining why it was that in the final analysis he blinked because he was concerned he had not gotten the reforms in Albany he wanted, so he was faced with the reality he might have to lay off the newest teachers with the most energy, who may indeed be the most talented but didn't have seniority. And this is what happened.
And I think particularly because we still have last in, first out, there was a great fear that I had, the chancellor had, the principals throughout the system had, that unfortunately a lot of the new younger teachers that had joined our...
The marriage bill just passed.
Oh, good. The marriage bill just passed. We'll come back to that in a second. Way to go.
Here is the vote.
33 to 10.
Who will be on the
vote? Solana, I don't know. Okay.
Not Andrew Lanza, but not Lanza.
So City Council Speaker Christine Quinn sort of as heckler there, piping up in the middle of the mayor's pronouncement.
Right. I don't think they felt diminished at all because there was a sense that somehow that – at least for this crowd, the government worked after years of being stymied on this particular issue. They felt that they had gotten some worthwhile comment.
And the mayor himself had gone up to lobby for it, to speak publicly for it. He was funny, though, right? In his whole home, oh, it passed? Oh, good. So, Aaron, on the topic of what they were there for, in a school system with 80,000 teachers and 1.2 million kids, they could have a big crowd for a raucous, joyous noise over no teacher layoffs. It didn't happen that way, but how did they avert them?
Well, at the last minute, the teachers union actually stepped up and agreed to concessions. So there won't be any teacher sabbaticals for a year. They've agreed to that. That'll save the city some money. And they've also made a deal on teachers who are permanent substitutes. So there's a bunch of teachers who have tenure, so they're still on the payroll, but they don't have permanent jobs, and they've just been collecting their salaries and not being used fully. Well, now they're all going to be used as day-to-day substitutes, which is going to save the city money from its substitute funds.
In other words, they're only going to be paid on a per diem basis if that's how they're working?
No. They'll continue to get the same salary they've been getting, but they'll be used more effectively than they have been in the past.
Right.
So before, some of them weren't being used completely. Now, and the city was continuing to hire day-to-day subs. Now the city won't have to do that.
And also, I mean, I guess this is called the absentee teacher reserve is a technical phrase. And these are folks that have been excised from schools where they lose their assignment for whatever reason. And then they're out there of some, I think it's 1,700. I got to check the number, 1,200. But the problem is the city will actually spend $180, Brian, out of pocket on a per diem basis for a substitute. logic says let's have the right hand and left hand work together and have those teachers already paying be in the classroom. And here's a secondary gain that Mulgrew told me about. Maybe the likelihood increases that that teacher may get a permanent assignment because they get a chance to be out and about with another school environment.
To be seen. And Aaron, this is enough money that it's the equivalent of the 4,500 or so teachers who would have been laid off?
No, it's not quite, but it got the city some of the way there, and then they came up with some other funds. The mayor was very proud to be able to say that the city did not dip further into its rainy day fund. The city ended up putting up an extra $4 billion this year to make up for shortfalls or less money than the city used to get from the state and federal governments. And so the mayor's initial budget had this $4 billion, but he said he wasn't going to put any more in. And he was happy to be able to do that and to not raise taxes. So there was a little bit of flexibility. City council gets some restoration money. And I know city council was very concerned that if they had to use their restoration money to keep the teachers' jobs, that they wouldn't be able to save firehouses, they wouldn't be able to save other priorities that council members had.
These terms, Bob, restoration money, a little extra money from city council. I mean, the language in the Times on Saturday was curious to me. Tell me if you reported it the same way. Times said the agreement calls for concessions from the UFT and money from the council. And when I read money from the council, it makes it sound like city council has hidden pots of money to dip into. But the whole point was
that... Well, we did have that movie a while back. But no, what it comes down to is the UFT put up about $60 million of concessions, which really helped get the ball rolling. I was very impressed with the cool approach of Education Chancellor Dennis Walcott and Mulgrew. What a labor leader, in the sense of, at one hand, he is bashing Bloomberg and keeping his base fired up while he's working with Walcott and Christine Quinn, the speaker, to find common ground. What also comes out of this is that, yeah, the city council has, in past years, like $300 million of this so-called discretionary money. They're going to have less this year. Mm-hmm. That what happens now is really quite important to a lot of local community groups. The so-called Schedule C, this is the local drama where the $10,000 to $15,000 for your local baseball league or your senior citizen center, that's all going to be resolved in the next couple of days, and that's really critical in this austere environment.
And, Aaron, nothing else on paying into health care premiums or pensions. You know, Joel Klein, the departed chancellor, wrote that teachers need to be moved on to 401k-style pension plans to avoid major cuts to the classroom in coming years. So really heavy lift items were avoided. Do you think they come back next year and the year after that?
Well, pensions actually can't be set by the city. It's a state law. You need a change in state law to be able to change a pension. A lot of other labor matters are subject to contractual negotiations. So there's only so much the city can do to get concessions from unions. I mean, this was an agreement with the teachers' union that was able to avoid these layoffs. It wasn't something the city can do unilaterally, and they have to go to the negotiating table.
Not like in New Jersey, where this week they're changing by law the pension and health benefits.
I want to say something looking forward, though, because we really have disastrous fiscal years in the out years, a $5 billion budget gap in 2013, and the reality that Albany and Washington are stepping away, going to continue to cut their contributions to the city. So even tougher choices lay ahead. We dodged the bullet this time.
And to be clear, we have like a minute left, but let me tick off a couple of other things. To be clear, Bob, 1,000 or so teacher positions are still expected to be lost. But
2,600.
Right.
That many.
Yeah, 2,600.
People who leave will not be replaced.
And 1,000 city layoffs across the bureaucracy. 1,000 people will lose their jobs, city workers.
Non-teacher jobs. But what will this mean for the kids if 2,600 teachers will not be replaced
in the
fall?
Well, the class size issue remains a problem. And you will see, but it won't be as dire as if they had actually had 4,000 individuals not report for work who were expected to teach.
Aaron, the 20 fire companies that may have been closed also saved in this agreement. Daycare services, libraries, senior centers, all these controversies, all spared, all found money?
Not entirely. So libraries, they were worried they were going to have to go back, to 5 days. Maybe now it'll be 6. Libraries had some of their money restored, not entirely. I mean, there are, as Bob said, 1,000, 1,100 city workers who are going to lose their jobs across a number of agencies. Parks, health, housing, and there will be a reduction in city services. There's no question about it.
So the headlines are misleading? The headlines are all about teacher layoffs averted.
Yeah.
The bleakest cuts were averted, but there are some cuts, and citizens will notice them, I think, for sure.
Budgeting's all about expectations. They manage the expectations.
WNYC's Bob Hanley, Aaron Einhorn from The Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
Coming up next, Alexandra Pelosi. Yes, daughter of the person you think. With her new documentary about immigrants who become citizens, and we'll take some phone calls from immigrants who've recently become naturalized Americans. 212-433-WNYC. But Alexandra Pelosi with her documentary and clips from it on that in a minute.